Well, fantastic. Do take your seats. It's really good to see you. Really warm welcome to Welton Baptist Church. If you are a guest here this evening, we want to give you a special welcome. We're delighted that you're here with us. Tonight's Carols by Candlelight service has a theme, and the theme is this: He is here. That's what we're going to be exploring. The truth is, God has never made a person that he doesn't love. God has never made a person that he doesn't love. And this evening, as we think about this incredible Christmas story, we're going to be reflecting on what does it mean if it's true that God is here? What does it mean to you, whether you're the smallest person, and this could be the smallest person in the room? I got a shock about 5 minutes ago. These guys on the front row noticed that I looked over and saw a real baby. I'd been shown a plastic doll earlier on that was supposed to go in here, but I think you rocked up with a real baby, so thank you. Boy or a girl? Appropriately a boy. Good. Okay, fantastic. If the baby starts crying, there's a mum on hand. Don't panic. So that's what we're going to be thinking about this evening. He is here. What does it mean for you and I if that's true? And we hope within the next hour something of this truth will grab us. And who knows, it may be that the Spirit of God wants to speak directly to you this evening. I don't believe you're here by chance. I believe that you're here because God wants you to be here. You may have come to make a Christingle, you may have come because a neighbour invited you, or a host of other reasons. But ultimately, what if it's true? What if God is here and you are here because he wants you here to speak to you? That's our hope. So we're going to pray and then we're going to kick off. Is that all right? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this remarkable truth that we celebrate at Christmas. Emmanuel, God among us, God with us, God here. Right now that you are here. And help us in this next hour to consider what it might mean for us personally, for our families, for those that we love. Give us open hearts and open minds to discover something new. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have some readings and some testimonies as we go. But before we do that, we're going to find out, a bunch of you made Christingles this evening. And I think next door, I wasn't in for much of it, but you were thinking a little bit about the meaning of a Christingle. So I want to ask, first of all, is there anybody in the room that would be super brave and run up here and tell me what the meaning of the orange is? Okay, is there anybody? Okay, yes, would you come up here? Going to get a jump on the stage. What is the meaning of the orange?
The world.
It is the world, that God made the world. What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas, thank you very much. Maybe a round of applause for Thomas. You've got to be quite brave. What about the red ribbon that goes around the world? Can we got a volunteer? If you're confident that you think you know what it might mean, Thomas has got his hand up again. We're going to go for somebody else. Yeah, okay. Come on up. Come on, stand up here so we can see you. Tell us what your name is.
Darren.
And tell us, what does the red ribbon mean?
Baby Jesus.
That's a good answer. We're gonna look for a little bit more of an answer. Do you remember what Matt said? He was talking about the red ribbon. What does the red symbolise?
God.
God, yeah, that's right. Should we get somebody to come and help you as well? All of those answers are fantastic. Yes, in the white top. Come up here with us, and between us, we're going to get this answer right. We're almost there. It's definitely Jesus. It's definitely God. What else does the red ribbon mean?
Is it God's love?
Yes, God's love, that God would die for us. It kind of represents his blood, doesn't it? Give them both a round of applause. Thank you very much. Thank you. What about the sticks? You are sticking some cocktail sticks into your oranges. Yes. Okay, Willow, run up here. This is Willow. She's going to tell us what the sticks represent in our Christingles.
Does it mean the four seasons?
The four seasons. I only found that out this evening. I thought there were four things. There's five things. Give Willow a round of applause. Thanks, Willow. What about the sweets that I know you guys are going to want to eat? I'm not quite sure how you're going to work out which Christingle is yours. Could be interesting at the end, couldn't it? Maybe it'd just be a free-for-all. Anybody know what the sweets represent? Yeah. Do you want to come over here? Come up. You can come up with Mum if you want. Come up as a family. That's fine. Brilliant. Come on up. Tell us what your names are.
Joshua. Emily.
Joshua and Emily. This is fantastic. Tell us, what do the sweets mean? Joshua, what do the sweets represent?
The sweets are the 3 months that God gives us things to provide, and there's three sweets for the 3 months, because there are 3 months in every season.
That is absolutely, that's brilliant. That's a really good answer. Matt Coombs, thank you very much. That's great. Matt Coombs reliably informed me that it's kind of all of God's creation, and certainly the seasons are included in that, aren't they, in God's creation. And last of all, there's the candle that you stuck in the top of your Christingle. Yes. Yeah, come on up, Marcus. Marcus, jump up. Tell us, what does the candle represent?
The light of the world.
Exactly right. Give him a round of applause. Fantastic. It's actually a lovely thing, isn't it? This Christingle represents the candle, represents the light of the world shining in the darkness. We're going to have our first reading of this evening, and before we stand and sing. And with each of the readings, we've asked the people doing the reading just to give a little bit of their story as to what it means. If it's true, he is here. What does that mean for them? We're going to ask Emily to come up and read our first reading and a little bit of what it means to her, this idea that he is here. So Emily, if you'd come up, that would be great.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. So I have recently been blessed in the last couple of years. Parts of my life have been tough and others exciting. But in all of it, I now see God has been on my side and looking out for me every step of the way, even if I didn't know it at the time. A couple of weeks ago at church, I fully gave my life to Jesus, and I can fully say that I, with a brave phrase, that I can put my full faith in him, and I know that I don't have to worry about silly little things, which I often do, because I know he was here with me.
Thank you, Emily. That's a great testimony. Let's stand together. Going to invite Mark to come now and give our second reading and something of his story about what it means that God, that he really is here among us.
This is Luke 1, chapter 26, and it says the birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." God is here. For me, I've known God for many years, and spending time with God daily is something I've found really, really hard to do in my life. But the last year, or maybe a little bit longer, I think God would just challenge me, just spend 10 minutes every day reading your word or reading my word. And I found if I got a journal and actually gave God time and gave him time to speak, he would speak to me. And I'd write things in my journal and just write it down, things that he said to me, thoughts that came to my mind, which I felt God was saying. And recently I've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the one thing God was saying to me, "Mark, you need to know that love is more important than anything else. Love people. That's the most important thing." And the other thing has just been, this last year or so, God has just been showing me how much he loves me. And even though I knew it in my head, I'm now believing it deep down within me that God really loves me, and he loves those people around me too, so much.
Thanks, Mark. There's something very precious about the love of God. And again, if you're here this evening and you're thinking, could that be true for me? The answer is yes, and we really hope this evening that you'll begin to experience that very real love of God.
The birth of Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no guest rooms available for them. Amen.
So over the past few months, I've been kind of winding down my time as a youth leader with Ignite. And Friday was my last session. And it's been a real privilege to see these people grow in their faith over the years and how much really that they've played a part in strengthening my own walk with God. And it's easy to think that being a leader of a youth group is kind of a one-way thing, like a lecturer of students. But actually, it's so much more. And there are so many evenings where I've learnt more about myself and my relationship with God than perhaps on any Sunday morning services. No offence, Sunday morning services. However, over the last few months, I've really seen Jesus working in not just my life, but the lives of our young people. And I'm sure many of you have seen that. And we've recently spent quality time together in Devon on a weekend away, and worshipping with the youth band, which you may have seen on a Sunday morning, and sharing communion out on the sand dunes. And recently, we've had many of those young people stepping out and publicly sharing their love for God through that music and through leading and mission and youth work. And for me, what can be more of a visible way of showing Jesus' love than that new generation inspiring and leading us all? So with an expanding family and challenges ahead, I look forward to seeing what God's got planned for me next. And I really thank you, all of you youth, for all that you've taught me over the years.
Thank you. Great. Well done. Our next reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's the angels and the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Our theme is, "He is here." Well, how do you know that he is here? Well, for me, I've been a Christian for a long time. I think of an old chorus I used to sing. And probably some of you could sing it with me, but you won't. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. And he ends up by saying, "How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart." That's how I know he is here. Because he is here, has been for 47 years since I first met Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, when I was 16, screwed up and bitter. But he accepted me as I was. I even said to him, "You let me down, I'm walking." But he hasn't in 47 years ever let me down. I don't talk to him every day, just because it's a habit. I talk to him every day because it's a necessity. It's a vital part of my daily life to talk with the one who has taken me into his care for all those years. Last Sunday morning, I was leading the service at Radstock Baptist Church, and they gave me a passage, and in that passage it spoke about Joseph being told to give Jesus his name, and that he would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And as part of my preparation, I was reminded of, if you've ever been to the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican in Rome, on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo painted this wonderful mural. You may have just seen a photograph. It's a picture of God reaching out with his hand and pointing his finger. And on the other side is man reaching out and pointing his hand. And if you look at the figure of God, he is determined to reach out. He is stretching every sinew of his muscle. He has fixed his gaze upon man and he's reaching out. And yet Michelangelo purposely left a little gap between the two fingers. And when asked why, he said, "I have a point to make. It's not that man loves God and seeks him. It is that God loves us and seeks us. But he leaves enough room for us to choose to reach out to him." I did that when I was 16, 47 years ago. For those who are good in math, yes, I'm that old. I did that because I knew it was the very best thing I could do, but I didn't understand all of what I was doing. But 47 years later, I don't regret it for a moment. Next year, it's 50 years since man walked on the moon. Some of us remember watching it on the TV, don't we? Those black and white fuzzy images. When man first stepped on the moon, the president of America, Richard Nixon, said that this was the greatest event in human history. But one of the mission team, an astronaut called Hale Irwin, said, "No, I disagree, Mr. President." He said, "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Jesus Christ stood upon the earth." He is here. He has been for 47 years. He always will be. And he's here. And all I suggest to you is, if you don't know that for yourself, why not just stretch out a bit further and find him here tonight?
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Emmanuel, the with us God, this has become increasingly dear to me. About 7 years ago, I was floundering around, fairly convinced God was here, but what I wanted to know was he here for me? Did he care for me? Did he love me? "Seek me," he said, "and I'll sort the rest." What a journey I've been on since. Through domestic abuse, divorce, kids diagnosed as autistic, relocation, and very recently my mum dying. But I can tell you, I have seen God at work. I wish there was time to tell you of the rescues, the blessings, the prophecies come true, the miraculous, the healing. But unfortunately, I have 2 minutes. But God and I, we've got to a place where if he wasn't here, I'd be lost without him. It struck me a few days ago. I have moved from looking for God's love for me through the lens of my circumstances to looking at my circumstances through knowing God's love for me. I can tell you, it makes a world of difference every moment of every day. He is here. He is here for me. And he is here for you, if you want him.
Thank you, Kate. It's a great invitation, isn't it? Are we ready to receive the love of God, whatever circumstances that it is we're facing? Okay, we're going to stand together. Seats. We said a really warm welcome right at the beginning if you're a guest. I think one or two folk have arrived since then. Just want to echo that and say if you're a guest here with us this morning, this evening, sorry, you're especially welcome. Want to give you just a couple of quick notices in case we might forget at the end, all right? And one is that we're going to be together on Christmas Day, but not here. So if you fancy turning out for a Christmas service in a couple of days' time, we're going to be at Welton Chapel. All of us squeezed in. It's normally really good fun. So we encourage you to come along if you can. That's Christmas morning. We're not going to be back here on the 30th of December. Our next Sunday morning here will be on the 6th of January. So I don't know whether you're the kind of person that does kind of the New Year's resolution. Anybody likes New Year's resolutions? I actually quite like them. I'm kind of a little bit up for a New Year's resolution. Maybe you want to kick off the new year by saying, all right, I'm going to get along to church and see what it means, this idea that God is here, that maybe God has a plan for your life, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God that we've been hearing about a little bit this evening. What if 2019 had that as part of your year? Could be good, couldn't it? I want to introduce you to Matt, who's going to come and share some ideas with us about this theme for this evening. He is here. So why don't you put your hands together and welcome Matt, who co-leads the church here.
Thank you, that's all right. Okay, I don't think I've ever been clapped up before. That was good. We should do that all the time. Well, apparently, the rumour goes there's only one shopping day left till Christmas. So I don't know if that puts fear in anyone's minds, if you look panicked. And I was looking around earlier, and I was looking at you, and I thought, you look like a generous bunch of people to me. And I wonder if any of you have ever received or given like a really, really generous present, like a really expensive present. And just in case you haven't done it yet, tomorrow could be your chance, okay? So you've got one day. I've come up with some ideas for you. Rich, could we have the first one? Okay, we've got here, these are some gold shoelaces. They're nice, aren't they? Do you fancy those? Only 10 pairs of those made in the world. They'll come in at, next slide, Rich, $19,000, okay? I'm afraid I couldn't convert it to pounds. $9,000. How about any golfers in the room? Golfers looking for a nice present for someone? Okay, let's have the next one, Rich. Okay, this is the Batmobile. This is kind of extreme golf. This is golf. If Matt actually did ever try golf, this would be what you'd do, wouldn't it? Okay, what's that coming at? £28,500. A snip, I think, dollars, sorry. Okay, and who's ever, has anybody ever one of these active days out given to you? Here's the next one for you. You could be given an aqua suit, okay? This, you've got to get approval from the Department of Defense to get one of these. This is how good it is. That will cost you just a cool $31,500. Okay, hold the next one for a second, Rich. Hold the next one. This one could be controversial. We've actually had a little WhatsApp group chat this week about this next one. Do you buy somebody a practical gift, you know, something for the home? Are you allowed to do that or not? We had a little debate in my household. Could I buy Joe a Hoover for Christmas? Would that be? Ah, but wait, I think I found the compromise. Come on, Rich. Gold-plated Hoover. Joe, you said no. Sorry, it's too late. Else I would have loved to have got you one. How much did that come in? Just $1 short of $1 million. Okay. Why are we thinking about expensive gifts? Let's have a little look. I'm going to steal the opening verses to the final reading, which we're going to hear in a short while. You might be familiar with it, but I always think it sounds a bit peculiar. From John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why call Jesus the Word? That seems strange. Unsurprisingly, John did actually know what he was doing when he chose this name. It's actually logos in the original language. It was full of meaning to both the Jewish people and all the people who weren't Jewish, all the other people around. The word John uses for the Jews was the word for the living God. Logos meant the living God. But to everybody else, the philosophers and the great thinkers, it was a word used to describe whatever forces in the universe hold everything together. John was being smart using this name. As John says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The book of John doesn't give the whole narrative of the birth of Jesus, but it gets straight to the point. This is God coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And I think we've got to get to grips with this if the Christmas story is going to hold any real significance for us. Jesus made it clear that he is God. He said, "I and the Father are one." People wanted to kill him for it, saying, "You, a mere man, call yourself God?" There are a number of occasions where Jesus is worshipped. He never rebuked anyone for worshipping him. If he wasn't God, I think he would have told them not to. When the disciple Thomas, you might know him as Doubting Thomas, when he realized who Jesus was, he declared, "My Lord and my God." Surely Jesus would have corrected him if it wasn't true. It's clear that Jesus' followers recognized him to be God. Titus refers to Jesus as our God and Savior. If this isn't true, you may as well forget Christmas altogether. Forget carols that tell the story. Forget church where we worship. Don't bother to pray. He's not God. We might as well go and sit on Santa's knee, give him our wishes, give him all our woes, and see what happens, because that would be as real as Christmas gets. The reason we should celebrate Christmas is because it is true. As our opening reading said, they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if Sarah could come up a bit with James. Can you just jump up for us again? In Jesus, we have the first Christmas present, and we have the costliest Christmas present. No matter how much effort you've put into your presents this year, the lengths you've gone to, the brilliant thinking you've put into it, they are never going to come close to this gift. God became man for us. We've got house groups in the church, sort of, because we've got quite a big church in the week. We have smaller groups and we get together and share together, encourage each other, do all kinds of things. This week in our group, we sat and we just read the story together, the nativity story, and we just shared it together. And we asked God to show things to us as we read. One thing which we were really struck by was the response of individuals to this baby as the Holy Spirit opened their eyes to the truth. You'll probably know some of these different characters. You okay there, Sarah? The teenage girl, Mary, actually believes that she is carrying the baby who is God. She sings this amazing song in response to her knowledge of who Jesus is. If these things weren't true, at best, she'd have ideas way above her station. At worst, if the authorities found out, she could face death for blasphemy. Then there's Zechariah. His response to Jesus is to put him ahead of his own son. The surprise that he and his wife will be having a baby of their own in their old age is one thing. But when his baby, John, is born, he begins his song talking about Jesus and who he is. You can sense his joy about Jesus as he goes on to say that his son, John, will get to go ahead of him and tell people to get ready for him to come. We can read of Anna, an 84-year-old widow devoted to listen to God and known for speaking out for him. She recognizes who this baby is, Her response is to begin speaking the truth to God's people, to all the people around who have been waiting for God to come and help them. Then there's the shepherds, not known for their social skills, but who get it? They see who this baby is. Their response to Jesus is clear. They've suddenly found something which they can't shut up about. They can't retreat back to their field out of the way with their sheep and start instead to tell everyone about him. Simeon, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he'd been told that he was going to live to see the Saviour. I wonder what he expected to see, what he thought Christ was going to appear as he waited in the temple and Joseph and Mary bring this tiny baby. He'd have to be mad to invent this story, to invent this idea that this was God's answer to all the promises that had been made to the people of Israel. His response to Jesus is to say to his God, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Let's be clear, this is complete and utter madness if it's not inspired by God. And let's grasp the significance of his closing words. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. Maybe you've had the opportunity to hold a baby, perhaps your own. That time when the future is really quite unknown. Maybe you've got high ideas, hopes, plans, but in the moment you hold that baby, that's all that they are. I love the thought of those first few hours when, amid the exhaustion, the mess, the relief, all that Mary and Joseph knew was the joy of looking on at this baby. While those moments are so precious to us, we can't put them in a jar and screw the lid on. There's a life to be lived. And as over the coming days, weeks and months, these various people spoke about her son, the Bible says that Mary treasured these moments and imagined how it was going to all pan out. It was Simeon who has to forewarn Mary that her soul will one day be pierced. It's not long before the reality of caring for the Saviour of the world begins to kick in. King Herod, who recognises the threat of a true king to all his own insecurities, his response to Jesus is truly barbaric. But Jesus did escape, and he did grow up. And he caused upset and outrage, and he loved people. He sincerely loved everyone. He died because he loved us. And he came back to life again. As the verse said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus never said to anyone, he just wanted them to believe in the story of his birth. He never said, "That's it, that's the bit to remember." What he did say to people was, "Come and follow me." I just wonder, what's the most costly gift you've ever been given? I'd say it was this gift of God made man. How will you respond? Because there's a response to make.
Thank you, Matt. Let's ponder those things that Matt has shared with us as we sing our next carol. I'll tell you what, we'll do the final reading because I think it fits better because it kind of follows on from what Matt shared. So I'm going to ask Lucy, I think I saw her earlier on. Yeah, Lucy, is that okay? So come and do the reading now and then we'll sing afterwards.
John 1:1-14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've joined the church relatively recently. For those who don't know me, my name's Lucy, and I'm married to Ian. I've been a Christian all my life, but since becoming a mum, the one thing I've really struggled with is trusting God with my children. We all want the best for our children. We all want to look out for them and make sure that they're safe. And just over the last few months, as we've reached the teenage years, it's become a real struggle for me to let my children go off and be the individuals that they will grow into be without mollycoddling them or being overprotective. And over the last few months, I've had a real struggle with just asking God to let me let them go. And I've been very, very blessed recently by God answering prayers in very small things, really, but just asking to trust him and all the good things that I want for my children. As their Heavenly Father, he wants so much more for them. And as much as I love them and I want to protect them, he wants to love and protect them so much more. And he is so much more able to do that than I am. So I would just challenge you, if you are struggling with anything, pass it over to the Lord and just wait and trust him, because he does hear and he does answer.
Fantastic. What a great, honest testimony and perspective on trusting this God that we've been thinking about, who's with us. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this one last carol, O Come All You Faithful, before we close in prayer.